from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Open Line Thursday, Rickies. Good morning to you all. We are the Junks, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, it's very simple. You go to cropmetcalf.com today and find more information. Here's some info for you. You got a two-man junk show. The junks are dropping like flies when I look around the studio. It's just me, Cakes, and JP sitting directly across from me.
What's up, Cakesy?
What's up, man? Good morning.
Feeling good?
All the other junks out and about. EB still down in the Outer Banks. He's at the tail end of his vacation. Jason just started his vacay. He went on his trip out to California, where he's doing the Pebble Beach golf trip. And then he's rendezvousing with his family for a little Napa tour in wine country.
Very nice.
Fancy lad.
He was stressed. I don't know why, because he was getting picked up by a limousine company, and now he said he wasn't in a limo. Yeah. He's in a Suburban,
right?
And then he was flying first class because he's a baller. That's how Jason Bishop rolls.
That's also how he does it.
Also, his clubs, so he's not running through the airport with the massive travel bag. His clubs were shipped out ahead of time.
Right. It actually sounds like the least stressful travel situation you could have.
It is.
Now, he's always going to bitch and moan about traveling because he's a big, tall giant, and he has to go stuff himself into an airplane.
He might have an acute agoraphobia.
Is that fear of flying?
No. That's just fear of leaving your house.
Ah, okay. Yeah. He could. He very well could.
Fear of the outside world.
Right. Fear of interacting with others.
He might have a little bit of it.
He could have a case of that.
Although, to his credit, once he went to Pebble Beach with a listener who texted him on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine.
That's right.
That's how he first met the guy who's taken him to Pebble Beach.
It's quite a hookup.
He has stayed in touch with that group of friends, and he's going for the third or fourth time to Pebble Beach, if not the fifth time.
When somebody hooks you up like that and you're sometimes flying, I don't think he's not flying private this time, but he's had connections where he's flying on private jets instead of commercial. That's a number you tend to keep in your phone. That's one of those contacts that you don't usually delete.
And we know Jason, he doesn't mind interacting with the common folk, right. But he loves the rich folk. Loves people with money.
Yeah, who doesn't? That's kind of his thing.
Speaking of which, I had an interaction with David Falk last night.
You did? Okay.
So,
speaking of people with a lot of money.
I was at my daughter's gymnastics class and I get a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
We rarely get phone calls these days.
Yeah.
I believe it is the older generations. Now, we're kind of an older generation, but Falk's older than us by 20 years or so.
I've learned to let almost all of my phone calls pretty much go straight to voicemail.
Right.
Unless somebody from my family, my immediate family's calling.
If you're going to get in touch with me, you're going to send me a text message.
100%.
Most of our interactions now are text messages. Mm-hmm. And he calls me, I pick up the phone, and we were talking about yesterday that should I go out to dinner with him? How does the whole pick up the tab thing work?
Right. You don't want it to be awkward.
And I do agree with Valdez. I think you have to offer.
Right.
But this is a guy who sold his company when he was an agent for Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing and many of the others, top guys in the NBA, for well over $100
million. Right.
All right. He's got this palatial estate in Kiawah Island.
He does, yes.
That you've seen. I haven't seen.
I've only seen it on the internet. I haven't seen it in person.
While I agree with Valdez, he's not even trying to flex, but he slides some things in a conversation. So we're trying to set up this dinner. He's got a restaurant that he loves that I've never been to, which is close to where I used to live, not that far from where I currently live. And we're settling on the date. And he asked me, he's like, where do you live now? Do you live by Rio? And I was like, well, yeah, I used to live right there, but now I moved down the road because we wanted a bigger house. And then he goes, oh, he goes, just before COVID, I built my second house. 17,000 square feet. Think about that.
That is, that's quite a flat.
17,000 square feet.
I mean, like, most people, like, if you're a single family and you're living in a home, it's not a townhouse, you might have 3,000 or 4,000 square feet. I mean, if you're
right.
big baller, you might have 5,000 square feet.
Right.
I mean, this is more than 3x that.
Because I think I was saying, he's like, where do you live? I said, something to the effect of, I was like, well, we were living over in Crown Farm.
Right.
But we moved from a townhouse to a bigger house because we wanted a little more space and a yard. And he's like, yeah, I did that right before COVID, 17,000 square feet.
Well, JP, I wrote that.
And then the other thing.
Yeah.
The other thing was, once we set up the date, he sends me a text message that the date works. He had to check with his wife.
Yeah.
And I said, should we set up a reservation?
Mm-hmm.
Baller move. He's like, they don't do reservations, but I'm friends with the owner.
Oh, of course. Knows the owner. This is just, this is not a scientific number. This is a guess. Most of what I do here on the show. David Falk is in the 0.00001% of people's net worth in the United States. Could possibly add 4 or 5 more zeros because I mean, the guy's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I agree. Like yesterday I was saying, oh, you got to let him foot the whole bill. I do agree that you probably should at least weekly put your, put your credit card out there, like short arm your credit card, like, you know, gator arm your credit card.
He'll probably laugh at my credit card because it's green. It's not some fancy black card or, yeah, you know what I mean?
I can only imagine the sort of credit card David Falk is carrying around.
I just got a home regular credit card.
Does his credit card even have a limit? It probably doesn't, right? Like, I think, like, I have two separate credit cards, both from Chase Bank. And I think each one is like $20,000 or $25,000 credit limit, which I think is pretty standard, pretty normal. But I'm gonna guess he just has a credit card that has no limit whatsoever. He can spend whatever he wants.
No, but I get a kick out of talking to him. He loves the junkies.
Good.
He told me he went to an Orioles game with three of his childhood friends, and that they all had heard him on the show, and he. You know, people love their ADs.
Sure.
Loves their ADs.
Even rich multimillionaire agents.
So we'll see what happens.
I think we're
going to go out on the 16th of August.
Very good.
Found a date. Settled on a date.
Let me know how the whole credit card fiasco part works when the bill comes. I'm going to guess since he knows the owner, they're just going to go straight to him with the bill. And then you're going to be like, oh, let me pay for some. And then he's going to be like, no, I've got it. You're poor compared to me. So,
like
no,
I said, the stress that I had was you get invited to a dinner.
Yeah.
You set it up, but there's a difference in income levels here.
Sure.
Would order some bottle of wine that probably costs $2,000.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to handle that.
No, you'd be
because
like,
typically, if Jess and I go out, we go to Coastal Flats,
right.
And she might have a margarita,
sure.
And I might have an IPA.
Yeah, it's not...
Bill's not going to be more than
$125. When they ask you, do you want to see the wine list, you politely decline. You say, you know what?
Right.
No, we're good. We're good here. We're good with rail drinks from the bar.
Anyway, that's the update. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I think I will have the alligator arms.
Yeah, you probably will.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Good. Look at you getting out and about, mingling with powerful people. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm doing a Jason Bishop.
That's right. Exactly. Hanging out with people way richer than you.
Yeah, because then the invites come in because he wants to play golf.
Right.
Next thing you know, I'll be going to Kiowa with you, and I'll be hanging out at David Falk's house.
I mean, you'll probably be whisked away on a private jet to the Charleston Executive Airport. Good for you.
How much of the Olympics did you watch last night, Cakes?
I mean, I watched... us give the business to South Sudan, which is what should have happened.
All right, so that was during the day.
In the exhibition.
Yes.
I watched a little bit of badminton last night, and I also spent some time with volleyball. I can't remember which form.
So you're flipping the channels around. I think I tend to watch the NBC main channel coverage,
yeah,
which
I'm
is
all over the place.
It's stuff that already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of already know, like, yesterday it was all about Simone Biles,
right.
Or 2 days ago it was about Simone Biles. I knew that they had won the team thing, but I hadn't seen the events. So last night was Katie Ledecky night, mm-hmm. And
right.
I knew that she had already won the gold.
Yeah.
I mentioned this yesterday. I'm trying to swim more. When I swim freestyle, I've never been taught swimming. Maybe we had swimming lessons when we were kids at the Pointer Ridge pool.
Somewhere along the line.
But I'm a hack swimmer.
Right. We all are.
Katie Ledecky, she's winning by an incredible amount. What I noticed last night is, and I guess this is the proper technique, and maybe it's different on some of the shorter races, she doesn't kick that much. Did you notice that?
Kicker.
Like, for every one use of the arm, there's one kick.
Mm-hmm.
I kick furiously.
Again, you're not an expert. She's an expert in her field. She knows what she's doing.
And 1,500 meters? That's so
forever.
Long.
Forever. By the way, this is how much I don't really pay attention to swimming. And maybe Drab, because he's a swimming expert, can chime in. When did the guys stop wearing the Speedos and now they wear like the suits that go down like to their knees? How long have those been in vogue? Like for the last 20 years?
20 years probably, yeah.
What makes that? Does that just make them more aerodynamic
in
the pool?
Yeah, it repels the water. They have certain restrictions on it, I believe, now because it was getting crazy. Like the, what exactly? I mean, they were like in full wetsuits or whatever at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting outrageous.
And the times are just being shattered. So, yeah, it just repels the water, makes them slide through it faster.
Okay.
And I think because Jason was hyping up Rowdy Gaines so much yesterday, I did notice. I kind of enjoy it with Rowdy Gaines. He just gets you fired up for the swimming. I know you're anti-swimming, but that's what I was watching last night.
I mean, swimming is on right now in the studio. It doesn't capture me.
You got an American flag in first place, Cakes.
I mean, again, I always root for the Americans. It doesn't matter what discipline, what sport. Of course I'm going to root for the good old US of A. Sorry, swimming's boring. That's my opinion. Swimming is boring. I know it's one of like the tentpole events in the Summer Olympics. It's swimming, track and field, gymnastics, hoops. I would say that those are your top four that people tend to tune in for. Doesn't do it for me.
So, Cakes, I thought about you last night because I saw this thing and I had sent it via email a couple days ago about a new drink that went viral.
Okay, good.
Which has to do with marshmallow fluff and Coke. It's the two ingredients.
Huh.
I was like, maybe we should try it. So I thought of you last night because I went, first of all, I've never bought marshmallow fluff in my life.
I
thought
it
would be by the peanut butter. It was not. I was flummoxed. It's not something that gets listed in a grocery store.
I'm going to guess where it is. I'm going to guess it's with all of like the baking items.
That's where it was.
You're like cake mixes.
Correct. So eventually I found it, but I thought of you last night because I was just going to buy regular Coke. And I was like, I don't think Cakes drinks regular Coke anymore. So I bought some Coke and Coke Zero. We'll get it in the fridge.
Very good.
And then we'll set it up and have our own taste test.
So we.
I was intrigued because it's taking. No, you line your cup with the marshmallow fluff.
Okay.
You put some ice in there,
all right.
And then you put your cold soda in there.
Yeah, the soda must be cold. Is it in the fridge as we speak?
No, not yet.
I mean,
I'll put it in.
We need Mike Marr to sprint to the refrigerator. Actually, Mike Marr, please put some in the freezer, and we'll revisit it in about 45 minutes to about an hour. Get it nice and cold. I can't drink lukewarm soda, JP.
But I was intrigued because it seems more like a dessert.
I mean, if you're...
I'm not a float guy. Have you ever been a root beer float guy? I've never been a float guy.
I'm not the
biggest...
But it
feels like a float.
I'm not the biggest float guy, but on a hot summer day, if you get a good, like, Coke float or root beer float, all they are is delicious and just loaded with sugar. It's a great idea. Maybe I'll have a float while I'm on vacation. Maybe I'll dabble.
A float? How about you have it every night?
No, I can't do it every night, JP. I mean, I can't. It's just loaded with ice cream and sugar.
The ice cream will catch up to you. Trust me. I went to Ben and Jerry's every night in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Caught up to me a little bit.
Yeah,
I got to start fighting it off.
I'm a float guy. Sign me up. Now, I don't have them very often, but when I do, I enjoy them. They're
so
delicious.
We'll try it later in the show and see if the soda slash marshmallow fluff combo is worth it.
Very good. All right, when we come back, we'll get into the Junk Sports page. We'll update you on the Olympics. Jackson Holliday made a big impact in Baltimore yesterday, so we'll get into that next here on The Fan on an Open Line Thursday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I can't help but notice you've undergone a wardrobe change since the opening segment.
Well, the Washington Nationals are very nice, and they're promoting their upcoming promotion. Saturday, August 3rd, they've got a game against the Brewers, 4:05.
Yes.
It is Harry Potter Day Mystery House jersey giveaway.
Ah, very good. Like
so
this.
There are some blue Nationals jerseys,
okay.
And then I guess the mystery is, I don't know that much about Harry Potter.
Okay, I can try to fill in the blanks.
Last year, when we went to L.A. to visit Kelsey, we went to Universal Studios, and one of the first rides we went on was the Harry Potter roller coaster, whatever it was.
Right.
Wasn't really a true roller coaster, but the Harry Potter ride. There was a little Harry Potter section. And then Isabella, for a couple weeks, got into Harry Potter.
Yes.
So I know a little something about Harry Potter, but I haven't really watched the movies. She watched all the movies in like 2 weeks.
I've only seen the original, and at the urging of my youngest son, I read the first Harry Potter book a few years ago.
Wow.
I read the whole book. Now, I didn't go on and read, I mean, I don't know how many Harry Potter books there are at this point, a dozen, probably more. I ended at one. I had read enough after getting through the OG Harry Potter.
So, according to this, there are 10,000 fans are going to receive a special Mystery House jersey giveaway. And the giveaway features the jerseys, like the one I'm wearing.
Right.
Inspired by each of the four houses in Hogwarts.
Any chance you could name, how many of the houses can John Paul Flame name?
I thought Hogwarts was one of the houses.
No, JP, you're wrong. You're so wrong.
So I can't name any then.
Hogwarts is the academy where all of the young aspiring wizards and, I don't know, what's a female wizard? Wizardettes? That's where they attend. They live in four different houses.
See, if you say the name, I'll probably remember.
All right, so you've got Slytherin, I believe, is one of the four.
That's right, Slytherin.
Slytherin is one. You've got Drab, I might need your help here. Hufflepuff, is that one of the houses too?
I'm pretty sure Hufflepuff is one.
Hufflepuff is one, so I've got two of the four. Let's see, I got to come up with two more. Slytherin, Hufflepuff.
Ray Lewis has a house.
Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw, that's one. Very good. And the fourth Harry Potter house, I'm really
nerding out.
Think
RG3.
I was going to say it's Griffin something.
Oh, Gryffindor.
Yes, Gryffindor.
Right?
There you go.
Okay.
I just looked it up.
I knew two, and I needed help with
the other
two.
So I'm not even sure. Which one am I? Okay, I think I had to turn around for you, Cakes.
Hold on, let me see. I think it might be on your... No, I need to see the crest that's on your right sleeve. That should tell you which house. Let me see.
I thought it was on the back.
No, let me see. You're Team Ravenclaw, JP.
Oh, I'm Ravenclaw.
You got Ravenclaw jersey there.
Nice.
There you go. All right, so that's a cool promotion for all the Harry Potter fans out there. On Saturday, August 3rd is when the giveaway occurs. Very good. As they take on the Brewers. That's a cool giveaway for people that are into the Harry Potter.
Then Sunday's Kids Run the Bases Day.
Ooh, that's fun. Drab, you should bring your kids out to run the bases on Sunday.
I think you got to be four.
Oh, you got to be 4 years old? Okay.
They do have a story time as well.
Nice. Excellent.
And Teddy Swims is coming to Nationals Park for a post-game summer concert.
Nice. Part of their concert series. All right, let's get into the Junk Sports page. It's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need a quick burst of energy? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot for steady energy and long-lasting focus. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can find both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. You can use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great, my friends. So get some.
All right, we can start with the Olympics. And if anybody wants to chime in, it is Open Line Thursday, 800-636-1067. Is the number. You mentioned the U.S. men's national basketball team. They faced South Sudan, and they pretty much took care of the business. Bam Adebayo led the way. Curiously, Jason Tatum plays in this game. Joel Embiid doesn't play a minute in this game.
Yeah, he was just slouched on the bench. And you know what? I'm talking too much about bets that I don't make. I love South Sudan plus the number. I think it was 29.5. They covered it easily. I need to be betting some of my tingles, JP. But I know what's going to happen. I'll start betting the tingles, and then things will go off the deep end. Things will go awry.
I can't remember the name of the guy on South Sudan. He was lighting it up in the first quarter. And I was curious. I was like, man, I wonder if he's been in the NBA. And then eventually they mentioned he was in the NBA. And it's just amazing that these guys who can ball out, like, he wasn't intimidated at all. He went right to the basket, dunked on LeBron James, hit a three-pointer. And then I looked it up, and I think he played for the Miami Heat like 3 years ago and averaged 2 points a game.
Right.
There's just so much talent out there.
I didn't watch but the Americans, entire game.
The Americans just have so much more talent.
They dominated throughout. When they wanted to put the defensive clamps on South Sudan, they did at every opportunity. And South Sudan, they were just taking some wild, like, playground-type shots. You could just tell that they aren't as nuanced and don't have as much background and as much talent as the United States team.
Do you know Luol Deng went out of pocket to fund this team?
I did not know that. But they did give a good nugget during the broadcast yesterday. I didn't realize this. The South Sudan, they don't even have an indoor practice area. Like, they don't have an arena in the entire country. They had to go to Rwanda to train for the Olympics. And props to them for making it, but they don't even have a fully furnished arena in the country of South Sudan. Now, that's going to change. It sounded like they have 10 or 12 under construction right now, so they're developing in a real infrastructure for their program going forward. But, like, they had, like, no facilities and still, you know, are on this international stage, the biggest of stages. So they've come a long way in a short period of time. So good for them. It's impressive. How much did he come out of pocket?
I don't know. I read that he's funded the team. It's you know, here's the coach, Royal Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, Luol Deng has been funding this thing for 4 years out of his own pocket.
Good
he
for
pays
him.
For gyms, hotels, plane tickets, everything.
Oh. That's, I mean, Luol Deng made a lot of money in the league, but it can go quickly when you're trying to bankroll an entire team's basketball program, right? I mean, he did earn $166 million in his NBA playing career. So good for him. He's helping his country, you know, try to flourish and thrive.
I mentioned this before that last night, at least on NBC's coverage, I think that the biggest thing that they were going to show was Katie Ledecky winning her gold medal in her signature event. She took care of the business, won her 8th Olympic gold medal and 12th medal overall. She crushed the competition in the 1500-meter freestyle.
I wonder what the number on betting on her to win that event was, because it just seemed like it was such a lock that it might not even have been offered.
I don't think it was.
Well, it wasn't even on the board?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because, I mean, the book's just going to lose money.
So she's 27. She's now tied for the most medals ever by a female swimmer, and her dominance is just amazing. I saw a quote from Michael Phelps where Phelps the headline mm-hmm. grabbed my attention. And it said, Phelps amazed by what Ledecky does in the pool. I was like, oh, what did she do in the pool? And what she did is she was up by so much, she said her mind started wandering. And she started thinking about all the people that helped her on her career path while she's in the race.
Right.
Like Phelps said, you know, he never has time to think about anything else but his strokes while he's swimming, but she's up by so much and is such a machine. She's just...
Yeah, daydreaming.
Daydreaming.
Just, yeah, she's daydreaming while she's in the pool, basically lapping the competition. Must be nice to be that dominant at something.
So she had the Olympic record, 15 minutes, 30.02 seconds. She led from the start. At the last lap... There were a couple people that were on the same lap.
Right.
But she lapped people.
Yeah.
In the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
That's how dominant she is.
What she does.
So we had Mike Rizzo on the show yesterday. Of course, the Nationals made a bunch of deals. They're not playing great baseball of late. They lose last night to the Diamondbacks 5-4. So, Cakes, you may end up having a sweat.
I'm starting to 49
sweat. 49 and 60.
Starting to sweat that number.
They don't have the lane train anymore. The bullpen's not as strong.
Because when I, you know, when I peruse the standings and they're, you know, within 5 or 6 games of 500, I'm like, okay, the over bet is, I mean, it's definitely going to happen. But as it's like now 11 games below 500 at 49 and 60, starting to wonder, though Jason did mention, I believe they have an 11-game homestand upcoming. I don't know if it's right around the corner. It must be because they're playing the Brewers this weekend. So
problem is,
hopefully they can win some of those games at home. Take
the
care
pitchers
of
who were pitching really well early in the season,
yeah,
like a Mackenzie Gore, mm-hmm. they're not pitching as well of late.
Right.
Meanwhile, in Baltimore, they also made a bunch of deals. They, of course, were buyers. The Nationals were sellers. Mm-hmm. The Orioles get a 10-4 win, but the big story there is Jackson Holliday returned to the major leagues. Of course, he had a stint earlier in the season where he went 2-for-34. He hits a grand slam, his first career home run, to lift the Orioles to a 10-4 victory. They did, however, have a big hit to the lineup. Jordan Westberg, who was an all-star this year, third baseman, broke his hand as he was hit by a pitch. So, some pros, but some cons.
How much time is Westberg expected to miss at this point?
I think they hope that will return by the end of the season.
Okay.
Before the playoffs. That's what they hope. You never know with a broken hand. Some NFL news, which I think that you will like, Cakes.
All right.
NFL is always looking to modernize the game.
Yes.
Now you've got tablets on the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The next innovation could come in the form of one of the game's most important aspects, determining whether players have done enough to earn a first down. They're going to test a Hawkeye system, which is used in tennis during the preseason. They will test it out so you won't have to rely on the chain gang.
Who has been talking about this for the last 5 to 7 years, Drab? I think you're looking right at him.
I'm starting to think that you use the back padding machine as much as EB.
No, but I'm using it in the void of since EB is gone.
Okay.
I have to fill that void.
You have taken the baton.
It could break.
I'm sorry?
If you don't use it, it could break.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I mean, you gotta use the machinery or else it's just gonna fall apart. Now I don't use it to the extent that EB does, but I've definitely been on team get rid of the chain gang. It's the 2020s we're in. Okay, it's not 1985 anymore. Let's update this technology. We have the technology. Let's embrace it. Let's use it.
So the senior vice president of the NFL, Gary Brantley, said we're in the installation phase for all of the stadiums, getting them calibrated and up to date. I guess because different stadiums have different dimensions, maybe it makes it harder. But the Hawkeye system in tennis, it's the one that quickly determines if a ball was in or out.
You know what? To me, that sounds like a lot. That sounds like corporate, I'm going to use an old man term, gobbledygook. You know what? You know what's not different? The hundred yards of the field. That's not different in any stadium. Those are all the same. Please just put the sensors where they belong, set up the technology, and let's get rolling.
Cakes, I've long told you on this show that the yellow first and 10 line is more accurate than the chains.
I totally believe it.
And they always say, oh, the first and 10 yellow lines, not the official. It's not accurate. Right. No, it is. The chain gang, the dummies on the sideline are the ones that are not accurate because they're trying to eyeball a football in the middle of the field.
Yeah. Same with the 75-year-old guy trying to spot the ball on the field.
I was going to say spotting would be more.
Please update that too while we're at it. Because the guy grabs the ball and he does this.
Right.
And then he just puts it down some weird arbitrary spot.
Somewhere where he thinks.
Don't you have one guy on one side, though, and one guy on the other side, and they kind of meet in the middle? They usually put their foot down.
Please install robots to do it. Because they're going to do it better than those old guys
I like the ref spotting the ball. I kind of like it.
I don't know how a robot would spot the ball, because if it's... I'm forgetting the term, but when the guy has the ball and they're running the ball and they stop the forward progress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a judgment call. Like, where's forward progress stopped?
You ever hear of artificial intelligence, JP? You can build that in. You can build it into the program.
Yeah, ref GPT.
that robot ref's going to figure it all out. Drab apparently loves when the guys spot the ball.
Should help with the pace of play of the game, too.
Yes.
Definitely. They say it takes...
No. It would be the complete opposite. What do you think happens in the NBA every 3 seconds? Blow a whistle. Let's go to the court side. Look at a monitor. Let's waste another 10 minutes. No, spot the ball. We don't need to review everything. Spot the ball. Let's go. You guys want a 6-hour football game?
No. I always want more.
I think they're hoping
the game's that long.
They're hoping that it'll actually shorten the game.
Right.
Because the chain gang, it takes like, they said 40 seconds. I feel like the chain gang takes way longer than 40 seconds when they come out there.
You know what? When those guys no longer have jobs, find them something else to do on the sideline. Good riddance. I'm going to be so happy when I have to look at those guys stumbling and bumbling up and down the sidelines.
So yesterday we were talking about whether Jaden Daniels should take a lot of snaps in the preseason. You've got the Hall of Fame game tonight. You won't see Caleb Williams on the field taking any live snaps. You won't see C.J. Stroud taking any live snaps. In New York, they're wondering whether Aaron Rodgers, who only played 4 snaps in the regular season last year, will play in the preseason. Last year, he played 10 snaps in the third preseason game, 4 snaps in the regular season. Their head coach says his instinct is Rodgers won't play in the preseason.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not going to see him. They're going to keep him in bubble wrap until the opener. I think the Jets open against the Niners. I can double check that on the opening week schedule. It is an open line Thursday. You're welcome to call us throughout the show, 800-636-1067. Coming up later, Will Brinson, NFL columnist for CBS Sports, will join us, and we'll hit the skins coming up at 7, give you the latest from Commanders training camp. Coming up at 7 a.m., we will hit the skins. We'll take you through Commanders training camp out in Ashburn, give you the latest news about the Commanders. But right now, very hard-hitting story. This is super hard-hitting. Journalism at its finest. Fresh calls for G-string bikinis to be banned.
Uh-oh.
A photo of a woman wearing a controversial swimwear item has left thousands of Aussies debating whether G-strings should be banned in public. So I guess a photo of a woman doing the reverse Instagram boyfriend bit. Like, usually it's the boyfriend taking pictures of the girl, like, in public.
Right.
This is a picture of an Australian female at a water park taking a picture of her boyfriend in front of a big giant water slide, like some of the ones you rode in Atlantis. And she's wearing a G-string. And apparently people are debating whether G-strings should be allowed at public water parks. Are they too titillating?
I don't know how you turn the tide. I can tell you, growing up, you didn't see thongs. You didn't see what you're seeing now. You see so much cheeks now.
Yeah, the cheeks are out.
I see a lot in Atlantis.
Oh, I mean, just an incredible amount. And there are some women that you love seeing in those provocative bathing suits. But there are others that you're like, I can't believe they're sporting that little, I think there's been an advancement in bikini technology, Cakes.
Okay. So I was unaware.
The bikinis will almost like lift up the butt.
Okay. Right.
Acts and accentuate the cheeks.
Right.
So you see more and more women with those type of bathing suits.
Yeah.
But some of them are bigums.
Right.
I mean, it's surprising.
I think I see an equal amount of guys who are wearing way too skimpy bathing suits. The guys are just walking around rocking Speedos or super short bathing suits that they probably shouldn't be in. Like, you gotta know, like, what you can and cannot wear. You gotta know your limits. You gotta know where you can push the limits and where you can't.
I just don't know how they would get it back. I guess they would have to have, if you're a water park, whatever, you'd have to have a sign and say, this is how much bikini we need.
I don't know.
A dress code.
We need you to cover your cheeks.
I guess you could have a dress code.
You gotta have a dress code posted at the entrance. And then if someone's violating the dress code, they'll be asked to leave.
Or change into a different bathing suit.
Or change.
Right.
That might be one of the greatest jobs in the world.
Like, you have to judge the
bikini inspector at Atlantis.
Right. You would throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah. Well, how much worth the hourly wages?
Yeah, I could do this job. Split time with being a scopes guy.
But believe me, I saw so many cheeks.
I'm sure. Just like at the pools or down by the ocean, or was it just everywhere?
Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, Atlantis is like five big pools, mm-hmm. and then you've got the ocean, and you've got all the water slides.
Mm-hmm. What's the demographic of cheeks? Like,
my point is, I think you're seeing more and more from all age groups and all sizes. I mean, you see, like, I don't want to look, but sometimes it's cheeks, and then sometimes they're young, and you're like, whoa. Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes your man takes over in you. Yeah. You can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's just commonplace. Like, the regular bikini, I bet you it's maybe tilting more towards G-string, mm-hmm. thong, that bathing suit, which it's like a little triangle.
Yeah.
Versus, there's way more of that than your full,
sure,
old school bathing suit. Way more of that. What's the Ocean City breakdown or the Dewey Beach breakdown, Valdez?
I think cheeks are in.
Yeah.
It depends on where you go. If you go to the family section of Ocean City,
you're
by Century One and Bull on the Beach,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that many cheeks.
But by the boardwalk?
But if you're by the boardwalk, if you're laying out at Coconuts, it's nothing but cheeks.
Okay.
I do think there were probably, if I really have to think about it, there were probably less big herd things in Atlantis than normal.
Okay.
I know, my family went to the gym a bunch, and the gym was packed. So there was a lot of fit people there.
Mm-hmm. It's not Fatlantis.
It's not Fatlantis. Although Romco's on the regular.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of trophy wives down there at Atlantis on their rich vacations.
Right, sure.
Yeah, not a lot of big fat herties down there.
That's a lot of families. I mean, I would say it's mostly families, but a lot of cheeks.
Well, do they have like an adult section of the water park / pool?
Like a hedonism section?
Well, not just like no children. Like if you're there on vacation.
I think there might be one over by the Cove, which is where Jason stays.
Yeah.
Not in my section.
You know what? Yeah. If you have an adult only section, like no kids allowed, and I don't mean like taking your top off and laying out. I mean, just like if you want to get away and not have screaming kids around you, splashing water, I could see cheeks being okay. But if you're in the family section of Atlantis,
I think there could be
some restriction.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, I think it's the norm now. I really do.
Maybe it is. It's trending that direction.
It's smaller bathing suits, more cheeks.
Right.
I know, but the code word that they're using to get away with wearing these skimpy bikinis or G-strings is you're not allowed to police women's bodies, right? Like, if you say that.
Okay.
But that's ridiculous because it could go both ways. If I went out on a beach with just a little a slinky thing over my Johnson.
Yeah.
And
sock only.
You're like, flea all of a sudden.
That would be absolutely revolting, and someone should tell me to put my pants on.
Right.
Right?
You should be body shamed at that point.
You should be. It's okay to body shame people and to have standards.
Right.
Now, look, I went to Spain, and there were They're just big breasts everywhere.
Europe is different. I remember when I was in Aruba a few years back, there were just women topless.
I know,
sunning themselves. On the beach.
It was like...
And it's not a nude beach. It's just like 80% of the people are wearing bathing suits. 20% aren't.
Yeah, but they were just getting tans.
Right.
It wasn't a thought fest.
Right.
Like, people weren't even paying attention to it.
Right.
It was just a cultural thing.
Sure. Just the way business is done over there.
Everyone's a fan of G-strings. We all love G-strings. But maybe not at the water park, or the private water park with little kids running around.
If you're in Rio, wear all the G-strings you want. If you're at the splash zone and there's a billion little kids running around, you might want to bring a slightly more conservative bathing suit. If you're in hedonism, wear nothing or wear a G-string. It all depends on your surroundings, where you are. Who's around you? That makes sense.
I don't have a problem with the cakes. More cheeks, the better. I still remember when we went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Cakes came to Puerto Rico with my family one time.
I was like 15. We're 15 years old.
I think we were younger than that. Yeah. It was like maybe after eighth grade.
Right.
So maybe 13, 14.
Hormones just raging.
And there was a chick. She seemed to us to be like a Playboy playmate.
Well, she seemed like she was like a forerunner to Pam Anderson. Like that sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she had a cartoon, like,
yeah,
Jessica Rabbit type body.
Right.
And she would come down every day. Like, we'd be on the beach, you know, throwing a football or whatever the heck we were doing. And we were just waiting for her to come down from the building. I'm in a 19 floor building.
And we're just like this. We're like, I'm sure we
and
were,
back then, you didn't see much cheeks,
mouths
but she had.
Open,
she had,
staring.
She had the tiggles and, you know, came out with like a teeny weeny bikini.
Yeah, I mean, we just couldn't control ourselves.
You know, my dad back in the day, I'll throw him under the bus.
Okay, I'd love this.
My dad, we used to stay at the Century One.
Yeah.
In Ocean City.
I think I stayed there once way back in the day.
And they have a balcony that overlooks the beautiful ocean,
sure.
Ocean City.
Yep.
My dad used to bring his binoculars.
Like father, like son. Shocked you don't have Bushnells in there to look at the building next to us.
He used to bring his case of binoculars. All right. And he used to go tell my mom, I'm looking at the dolphins.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the marine wildlife. Yeah,
he wants to make sure there's no riptides out there.
I'm looking at the seagulls. What's your mom's name?
Janice.
Oh, Janice, I'm looking at the seagulls out here.
And then he used to wake up in the morning and then take his binoculars and then scout where he was going to sit. If he was going to sit next to the sillies or not.
Janice, we got a lot of jellyfish out here today. Be careful. Bring that meat tenderizer out.
Did you ever have a father-son moment where he'd like give you a tap while you're on the beach and tell you to look in a certain direction?
No, he never did that.
Pervy and weird.
He used to hog it all for himself.
Yeah.
He never passed over the binoculars?
No, never did.
I love me some stories about Papa Valdez. Love him. Love him. All right, when we come back, we will take you through Commanders training camp. We will hit the Skins next here on The Fan. Coming up at 7 a.m., we will hit the Skins. We'll take you through Commanders training camp out in Ashburn, give you the latest news about the Commanders. But right now, very hard-hitting story. This is super hard-hitting. Journalism at its finest. Fresh calls for G-string bikinis to be banned.
Uh-oh.
A photo of a woman wearing a controversial swimwear item has left thousands of Aussies debating whether G-strings should be banned in public. So I guess a photo of a woman taking, like, doing the reverse Instagram boyfriend bit. Like, usually it's the boyfriend taking pictures of the girl, like, in public.
Right.
This is a picture of an Australian female at a water park taking a picture of her boyfriend in front of a big giant water slide, like some of the ones you rode in Atlantis. And she's wearing a G-string. And apparently people are debating whether G-strings should be allowed at public water parks. Are they too titillating?
I don't know how you turn the tide. I can tell you, growing up, you didn't see thongs. You didn't see what you're seeing now. You see so much cheeks now.
Yeah, the cheeks are out.
I see a lot in Atlantis.
Oh, I mean, just an incredible amount. And there are some women that you love seeing in those provocative bathing suits. But there are others that you're like, I can't believe they're sporting that little... Like, there are... I think there's been an advancement in bikini technology cakes.
Okay. So I was unaware.
The bikinis will almost like lift up the butt.
Okay, right.
Acts and accentuate the cheeks.
Right.
So you see more and more women with those type of bathing suits.
Yeah.
But some of them are bigums.
Right.
I mean, it's surprising.
I think I see an equal amount of guys who are wearing way too skimpy bathing suits. The guys are just walking around rocking Speedos or super short bathing suits that they probably shouldn't be in. Like, you gotta know, like, what you can and cannot wear. You gotta know your limits. You gotta know where you can push the limits and where you can't.
I just don't know how they would get it back. I guess they would have to have, if you're a water park, whatever, you'd have to have a sign and say, this is how much bikini we need.
I don't know.
A dress code.
We need you to cover your cheeks.
I guess you could have a dress code.
You gotta have a dress code posted at the entrance. And then if someone's violating the dress code, they'll be asked to leave.
Or change into a different bathing suit.
Or change.
Right.
That might be one of the greatest jobs in the world.
Like, you have to judge the
bikini inspector at Atlantis.
Right. You would to throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah. Well, how much are the hourly wages?
Yeah, I could do this job. Split time with being a scopes guy.
But believe me, I saw so many cheeks.
I'm sure. Just like at the pools or down by the ocean, or was it just everywhere?
Everywhere. Yeah. I mean, Atlantis is like five big pools, and then you've got the ocean, and you've got all the water slides.
Mm-hmm. What's the demographic of cheeks? Like,
my point is, I think you're seeing more and more from all age groups and all sizes. I mean, you see, like, I don't want to look, but sometimes it's cheeks, and then sometimes they're young, and you're like, whoa. Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes your man takes over in you.
Yeah.
You can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's just commonplace. Like, the regular bikini, I bet you it's maybe tilting more towards G-string, thong, that bathing suit, which it's like a little triangle.
Yeah.
Versus, there's way more of that than your full old school bathing suit. Way more of that. What's the Ocean City breakdown or the Dewey Beach breakdown, Valdez?
I think cheeks are in.
Yeah.
It depends on where you go. If you go to the family section of Ocean City, you're like by Century One and Bull on the Beach, I don't think it's that many cheeks.
But down by the boardwalk?
But if you're by the boardwalk, if you're laying out at Coconuts, it's nothing but cheeks.
Okay.
I do think there were probably, if I really have to think about it, there were probably less big herd things in Atlantis than normal.
Okay.
I know, my family went to the gym a bunch, and the gym was packed. So there was a lot of fit people there.
Mm-hmm. It's not Fatlantis.
It's not Fatlantis. Although Romco's on the regular.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of trophy wives down there in Atlantis and their rich vacations.
Right, sure.
Yeah, not a lot of big fat herties down there.
That's a lot of families. I mean, I would say it's mostly families, but a lot of cheeks.
Well, do they have like an adult section of the water park / pool?
Like a hedonism section?
Well, not just like no children. Like if you're there on vacation.
I think there might be one over by the Cove, which is where Jason stays.
Yeah.
Not in my section.
You know what? Yeah. If you have an adult only section, like no kids allowed, and I don't mean like taking your top off and laying out. I mean just like if you want to get away and not have screaming kids around you, splashing water, I could see cheeks being okay. But if you're in the family section of Atlantis,
then there could be
some restriction.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I think it's the norm now. I really do.
Maybe it is. It's trending that direction.
It's smaller bathing suits, more cheeks.
Right.
I know, but the code word that they're using to get away with wearing these skimpy bikinis or G-strings is you're not allowed to police women's bodies, right? Like if you say that.
Okay.
But that's ridiculous because it could go both ways. If I went out on a beach with just a little a slinky thing over my Johnson.
Yeah.
And
sock only.
Your flea all of a sudden.
That would be absolutely revolting, and someone should tell me to put my pants on.
Right.
right?
You should be body shamed at that point.
You should be. It's okay to body shame people and to have standards,
right?
Now, look, I went to Spain and there were they're just big breasts everywhere.
They're
big breasts everywhere.
I remember when I was in Aruba a few years back. There were just women topless.
I know, but
like sunning themselves on the beach.
It was like,
and it's not a nude beach. It's just like 80% of the people are wearing bathing suits. 20% aren't.
Yeah, but they were just getting tans.
Right.
It wasn't a thought fest.
Right.
Like people weren't even paying attention to it.
Right.
It was just a cultural thing.
Sure. It's just the way business is done over there.
Everyone's a fan of G-strings. We all love G-strings. But maybe not at the water park, or the private water park with little kids running around.
If you're in Rio, wear all the G-strings you want. If you're at the splash zone and there's a billion little kids running around, you might want to bring a slightly more conservative bathing suit.
Exactly.
If you're in hedonism, wear nothing or wear a G-string. It all depends on your surroundings, where you are, who's around you. That makes sense.
I don't have a problem with the cakes. Cheeks, the better.
I
remember when we went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Cakes came to Puerto Rico with my family one time.
I was like 15. We're 15 years old.
I think we were younger than that. Yeah. It was like maybe after eighth grade.
Right.
So maybe 13, 14.
Hormones just raging.
And there was a chick. She seemed to us to be like a Playboy playmate.
Well, she seemed like she was like a forerunner to Pam Anderson. Like that sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, she had a cartoon, like,
yeah,
Jessica Rabbit type body.
Right.
And she would come down every day. Like, we'd be on the beach, you know, throwing a football or whatever the heck we were doing. And we were just waiting for her to come down from the building. And I'm in a 19 floor building.
And we're just like this. We're like, I'm sure we
And
were,
back then, you didn't see much cheeks,
mouth
but she had.
Open,
she had,
staring.
She had the tiggles and, you know, out with like a teeny weeny bikini.
Yeah, I mean, we just couldn't control ourselves.
You know, my dad back in the day, I'll throw him under the bus.
Okay, I'd love this.
My dad, we used to stay at the Century One.
Yeah.
In Ocean City.
I think I stayed there once way back in the day.
And they have a balcony that overlooks the beautiful ocean,
sure.
Of Ocean City.
Yep.
My dad used to bring his binoculars.
Oh. Like father, like son. Shocked you don't have Bushnells in there to look at the building next to us.
He used to bring his case of binoculars. All right. And he used to go tell my mom, I'm looking at the dolphins.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the marine wildlife. Yeah,
he wants to make sure there's no riptides out there.
I'm looking at the seagulls. What's your mom's name?
Janice.
Oh, Janice, I'm looking at the seagulls out here.
And then he used to wake up in the morning and then take his binoculars and then scout where he was going to sit. If he was going to sit next to the sillies or not.
Janice, we got a lot of jellyfish out here today. Be careful. Bring that meat tenderizer out.
Did you ever have a father-son moment where he'd like give you a tap while you're at the beach and tell you to look in a certain direction?
No, he never did that.
Pervy and weird.
He used to hog it all for himself.
Yeah.
He never passed over the binoculars.
No, never did.
I love me some stories about Papa Valdez. Love him. Love him. All right, when we come back, we will take you through Commanders training camp. We will hit the Skins next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.